Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to be with you. Last Sunday, we were dedicating Noah Wise to the Lord. He had 13 babies in the front. Oh my gosh. Don't drink water over there if you're not ready for another one. Wow. It was neat, though. And then we had a celebration afterwards with family. It was good, just good. Next Sunday, I will be gone again. I'll be preaching at Chickies. I would appreciate your prayers. They're going to be licensing Caleb to the ministry. And we'll have a special, after I preach, they'll have a little thing for him. And then there's a meal that they're going to have for us afterwards. So he's already finished a couple of courses through the seminary up at Myerstown, so he's off and running and things. ESD. What's that? ESD. No, he's an SON. I don't know what that is. Yes, right, there in Myerstown, right. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. Yes, you're so, so good. Absolutely. Thank you for all you have done and all you continue to do. Thank you for your Spirit among us. Spirit, Lord, we need you. I need you. Speak through me. Tailor make this to hit each person just as they need it, Spirit, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that your word is already anointed. Thank you that we have it and we can read it. Have your way. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in Luke, and we're finishing the book of Luke. 24 chapters later, this is it. I think Barry taught on this on Easter Sunday, but it's good to hear it again, the scripture that we're looking at. So let's go to the next slide. Dum ta dum tum tum. So when's the last time you had heartburn? Good question, right? Mostly everybody gets heartburn sometime or another. It's that uncomfortable sensation you get here in your chest when you eat or drink something. Some of that stomach acid kind of works its way back up and gives you that burning sensation here, which they call heartburn. And it's a condition that has nothing to do with our hearts, actually. It's just called heartburn because of the location. It's in there where your heart's located. So today we're looking at Luke chapter 24, and we're looking at a different kind of heartburn, spiritual heartburn. And you know, I believe the Lord desires each of us to get spiritual heartburn at various times in our lives. And this is what happened to two of Jesus' disciples on the road to Emmaus. This was Easter morning, the resurrection day. And Jesus shows up and starts walking with these two disciples. But they didn't know who he was. They didn't know who the stranger was. But the more they walked with him and talked with him, the more they had spiritual heartburn. So we're going to read this account from Luke 24. Someone's going to read verses 1 to 12, and then 13 to 27, and 28 to 35. So tune in to what is going on here in Luke 24.
At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they had prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then, out of nowhere, it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He is not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up. Then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news of all this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles. But the apostles didn't believe a word of it, though they were thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet and ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and saw a few grave clothes, that's all. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and talked and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went up to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself."
And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "With us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" Then they got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembling together, and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Okay, thank you for reading. Easter morning. Scott, you can go to the next slide. So these women got up early to go to the tomb, and they were going to bring spices to anoint the dead body of Jesus. But the stone was gone. The tomb was empty. Hallelujah. Yeah. Instead, they find two angels in these shining garments, which say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember what he said when he was with you when he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again." This read what those angels were referring to of Jesus telling them in advance that this was going to happen, but they didn't remember. So let's listen. We're going to look at Luke 9:44 and Luke 18:31 to 33. So those who have those can read those.
"Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men."
Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again."
All these things Jesus told them before it all happened, And yet they didn't remember. And so the angels were helping these women to remember Jesus' words. And it says in Luke 24:8, they remembered his words. You know, we're not too different than these women. We often forget, too, what the word says, don't we? I know I do. But instead of angels to remind us, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to remind us. This is what John 14:26 says. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I said to you. We have a helper who will remind us these things that the Lord has told us. When we forget it, we all forgetful. So these women, they hurry back to the disciples. I mean, could you imagine hearing and seeing all this and knowing Jesus is alive? And they go back in and burst in and tell them the good news. And of course, all the 11 disciples that were there were like, great, you know. No. It says that their words seemed like idle tales, and they didn't believe them. Wow. Then in verse 13, two disciples who were discouraged and downhearted left Jerusalem and started to walk to Emmaus. We don't know why they were going to Emmaus, but they were on the road to Emmaus. So, this is Jerusalem, and there's Emmaus. So they'd be going down out of the hills into the more flat lands towards the coast a little bit. Just 7-mile walk. Would have been about a 2-hour walk, is what they believe. And as you would expect on their journey, they were talking about all the things that happened in the previous days. I'm sure they were discussing Jesus being crucified and their uncertain future now with him gone. They really believed that Jesus was going to set up a physical kingdom on the earth and overthrow the tyranny of Rome. That's really what they were thinking was going to happen. And it didn't happen. And they just witnessed him being crucified. And so they were kind of like unsure what in the world's going on and what they're supposed to do. And more than likely, they were talking about what those women said as well. These were not just any old women. They were Jesus' disciples as well. Reputable women. They're friends. They're not liars. But how could this be, is what they were probably saying, right? Verse 17 says that they were still sad. They're in Luke 24. Meaning they really didn't believe the woman's report. However, it wasn't just the women's words that they didn't believe. Work with me on this. What they were not believing is God's word that was spoken through the angels. You don't understand what I'm saying here about this. It wasn't just their word. It was a word from God that they were not believing. So this is an example that comes to us from Hebrews 4:2. It says, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Wow. So the word does not profit us if it's not mixed with faith when we hear it. This was the word from God that the angels told these women, and the women told them the word from God, and they didn't have faith to believe it. So these women spoke words of truth and spoke words of life, but the men didn't have the faith to receive it. And that happens to us too. It just does. There are so many precious promises in God's word. And yet, if we're totally honest, we just don't believe them all. Oh, we give mental assent. We believe, yes, it's the word of God. We believe, sure, it's the word of God. Intellectually, we believe that. But deep down, when push comes to shove, we really don't believe all of it and act upon it as we should. And don't really put our faith in it as we should. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God are in him, are yes, and in him, amen." So Jesus knew what these disciples needed. They needed a good case of spiritual heartburn. And sometimes that's just what we need. So as they were discussing all these things, Jesus himself comes near and starts walking and talking with them. To be a mouse and to have been there, to just witness that, you know? I can picture it in my mind's eye. Verse 16 says that their eyes were restrained. So they didn't know it was Jesus. We know from John 20, 27 that Jesus still had the nail prints in his hands and his feet and the spear wound in his side. However, Jesus was not in his physical body anymore. He was in his spiritual body. He had a different body. And because of this, some scholars believe that Jesus would only be recognizable spiritually, because he's in a spiritual body. And it needed true spiritual discernment to know it was Jesus in that spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 2:14 kind of says this in a similar way. It says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them, because they are not discerned only through the Spirit." We need spiritual discernment to see with spiritual eyes. So they recognized Jesus as a person, but they didn't have the spiritual awareness to recognize him in that sense. So they were not really operating from their spirits, is what I'm saying. They were operating from their intellect. And I believe this is one of the reasons they could not recognize him, because they were using their carnal minds and their natural minds and not having spiritual understanding. Romans 8:6 says, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So we need to have a different discernment and understanding than just our cognitive thinking. So as Christians today, we need to tune into these kinds of things spiritually, have spiritual discernment. We know through the Holy Spirit that Jesus is always with us. He said, "I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you." And yet there's times we too fail to recognize his presence with us because of various issues and problems and things going on. We get carnally and earthly minded in our thinking. So, at any rate, in verse 17, Jesus says, "What kind of conversation is this that you were talking about, and why are you so sad?" This is almost comical in some ways, isn't it? It's fascinating. Jesus, it's like he's playing dumb. He's like messing with him in some way. Why wouldn't he openly just show himself to him and confront them? But reminded that his ways are higher than our ways. He has his ways of doing things, and this is one of those things. And then Cleopas says to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what just took place?" So he's like astounded that this guy doesn't understand what's going on. And verse 19, again, this is almost comic. And says, "What things?" You ever watch that TV show called Undercover Boss, where the bosses go incognito to see really what's going on with people who are working in the jobs and to see how they respond and think in different situations? So they kind of dress up and pretend to be somebody they're not when they're really the owner of the whole corporation or whatever. So here is Jesus in a similar kind of role saying, "What things?" So they go on and tell him about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the Roman rulers crucified him. And then they said, "We were hoping that he would redeem Israel." They were hopeful. There is a difference between hope and faith. There is a subtle difference. They were hopeful but didn't have faith. And besides all this, it's been 3 days since all this happened. And then they say, lastly, to top it off, certain women from our company went to the tomb this morning and saw two angels that said to them that he had risen. And again, that the fact that they told Jesus this, they recounted this testimony of the women that they were told that Jesus was being resurrected, suggested that they were hopeful that it could be true, but they didn't have faith and they didn't believe. And then Jesus says to them in verse 25, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all what the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ, the Messiah, to have suffered these things to enter into his glory?" And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. Wow. What an Old Testament Bible study that would have been. I mean, Jesus started at Genesis, basically. That's what Moses wrote. And went through all the prophets. It says all the prophets. Pointing out and explaining all the prophecies concerning himself and the suffering Messiah. One of the best known of these is Isaiah 53. And we're going to read that now. Just couple of verses from there. Whoever has that scripture, just read that. This is one of many that Jesus was explaining to these two men on the road.
"He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, we shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall all the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities."
Thanks, Larry. That was a lot, I know. This would just be one of how many scriptures from the Old Testament that Jesus would have been expounding to these two men on as they were walking along the road. Man. Unfortunately, we too are at times like these disciples. We get discouraged, we get sad, because we don't totally understand or get it either, what was written in God's Word. I do. And consequently, because we don't have that full understanding, we miss out. just as they were missing out on some things. So Jesus tells them all these Old Testament prophecies. I mean, just be there to hear it from Jesus' own mouth and lips. It just doesn't get any more anointed than that, huh? The living word, explaining the living word. Wow. So today, as we continue to dig into the Word of God, we too will find Christ on every page of His Word. And when we do this, like these men were getting, we too will catch a case of holy heartburn. The best thing about this kind of heartburn is that it is contagious. At first, like heartburn that you get when you eat or drink something wrong, it's an uncomfortable feeling. There's an uneasiness that'll be in our souls. But it's always just what we need when it's spiritual heartburn. It occurs when the Holy Spirit is moving as we're reading and studying scriptures. Or it could happen during an anointed sermon. You get this uncomfortableness, and you'll know it's the Spirit telling you things. It can happen during times of prayer, spiritual heartburn. It can happen during worship and praise. It often does to me here. Something just wells up inside of me. I know it's the Spirit moving, and I'll disconnect in ways that is not normal. And we'll know as Jesus is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is the agent that makes all this happen. So we all need a good case of spiritual heartburn every now and again. And that's what these two disciples in Luke 24 were getting. And the Lord delights to give it to us in ways we never expected or never saw coming. He just delights to do it like that. He seems to enjoy surprising us. I don't know. I know for myself, one time at 25 years old, I was driving home from visiting Luann, and I was listening to a guy on the radio, and I had heartburn, spiritual heartburn, so bad. And on 322, between Brookerville and Ephrata, I cried out to the Lord, and I was born again in my Toyota Corona. Oh, I had been confirmed, and I had been going to church for years, but I wasn't born again. But I knew I was when I got home. I was a different man. And that heartburn was heavy duty that night. Wow. And it was through the radio, of all things. And the Lord delights to use people and situations and things that we never saw coming and give us this spiritual heartburn. It can come through strangers in a grocery store. Can come through a billboard or a TV commercial. I even was watching a movie as a kid. I don't know the name of the movie. And I was about 10 or 12. I was watching this movie. And this man was in this church, and he was called by God to be a preacher. And I had this heartburn. I didn't know what it was. It was the Lord speaking to me as a boy. About my future. I was clueless. I couldn't understand what in the world was coming over me, kind of. Now, as I look back, I know he was giving me a case of spiritual heartburn there that I had no clue through a secular movie. So, he likes to move through and do things in forms that we don't recognize him. Just like these men didn't recognize him on the road, and speaks to our heart. He's speaking to our heart new truths that we maybe never saw before, and reveals things about himself and his kingdom that we never understood before. And when this happens, you'll know it's the Lord through the Holy Spirit working in you, giving you this same kind of heartburn that these men had on the road to Emmaus. We should be on slide 6, Scott. Where are we at here? Okay. So in Luke 24, 28 to 29, it says, "By now the day was spent." We're getting later in the day. "Evening had come, and Jesus seemed like he would have kept going on," is what the Bible says. But they convinced him to stay with them and join them for dinner. Now, talk about entertaining angels unaware. There's a scripture that says that you can entertain angels unaware. Well, here are two disciples entertaining Jesus himself unawares. It was clear that Jesus wanted to and came to reveal himself to these two disciples. And it wasn't totally accomplished yet. I want you to get this. It was the Lord's desire to tarry with them longer, but he will only do it at our invitation. Do you get that? These men might have missed out on the greatest blessing of seeing Jesus and knowing that was Jesus that was telling them these things if they had not invited him to join them. Same is true with us. Do you invite him to join you in what you do throughout your days? They would have missed out on a great and the complete blessing that God had for them. But to their credit, they invited this stranger to eat and stay with them. Next one. So there they are. Jesus sits down with them at the table to eat. He blesses and breaks the bread and gives it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew it was Jesus. And then he vanishes. What? This is like a movie, isn't it? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. He vanishes from their sight. So after their eyes were opened and he recognized them, they began to put together the symptoms of their spiritual heartburn to Jesus. That was Jesus who was telling us these things. So it was a result, their heartburn was a result of their encounter with Jesus and getting the word revealed to them. That was their uneasiness. That was their unrest, their discomfort, their disquiet in their souls. But they realize now it was the Lord. Now, there's this question of timing in all this. I mean, why did Jesus reveal himself at the table when they sat down to eat? I don't know. Scholars believe the reason that Jesus chose this time to reveal himself was that around a table, it's a time of fellowship, relaxing. It's a place where friends and loved ones meet. It's a place that's unhurried, where we come to fill our bellies after a busy day. It's a place of intimacy and friendship. A place where relationships are strengthened. And that's where Jesus chose to reveal himself. That makes sense, doesn't it? So they saw Jesus through this revelation of his word. They had intimate fellowship with him around the table, and he then vanishes. They didn't need to see him anymore in the flesh, did they? Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Our faith is our evidence that obtains us a greater blessing than believing because of visual proof. I mean, we have never seen Jesus alive and resurrected. I've never seen him alive and resurrected body like these men did. But Jesus says to Thomas in John 20:29, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. Because we have faith, we don't need the physical evidence because we understand. Then in verse 32, these disciples recall their spiritual heartburn. They say, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So let me ask you again, when's the last time you had spiritual heartburn? Did you ever recall having it spiritually like this? I believe he wants us to receive it regularly. I'm sure these two men were surprised that they felt the way they did. But the Lord draws us near to himself, instructing us new things, new teachings, just what is needed, just at the time we need it. That's our Lord. There's a pastor, I got this quote, and I thought, I'll read it. Deslin Kennebrew, I don't really know who it is, says this, and I quote, Spiritual heartburn is our God trying to get our attention. He is telling us through the Holy Spirit that something in your heart or thinking is not right with God. It's like an alarm going off in your spirit that gives you that it's time for you to recognize the presence of the Lord in your life in new ways. So, on the market, there's a lot of different products that are available to alleviate physical heartburn. I never take any of these things. I don't know if you do, but some people need them on a regular basis. However, there is only one person that can alleviate spiritual heartburn, and that is Jesus himself. He's the only one who can settle our souls and give us the peace we need within our hearts. So, next slide. So, these two disciples take off immediately and head back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. So they're heading back to Jerusalem. How their hearts were beating within them. I mean, it must have been a new land speed record from Emmaus to Jerusalem. I mean, could you imagine what they were talking about coming on the road back again and how fast they were going and the excitement within them? Oh, the great news they had to share. And they come in, they burst into the house where the 11 were staying, and they say, "We have saw and talked with the Lord. He is risen indeed." And they tell him everything that happened and how the Lord made himself known to them as they broke bread. They had such great excitement in telling others the greatest news ever. That's what we need. We need a renewed excitement in the good news of Jesus Christ within our lives so that we too will want to tell others about it. I mean, when something good happens to you in your life, you want to... Well, my kids were getting medals the last 2 days at the league meet. I wanted to tell people, "Hey, my javelin thrower won, you know? The boy won and the girl won." I wanted to tell somebody. How much better is telling about Jesus and that he's a resurrected Savior? Good news. And yet we hesitate. Boy, we should be wanting to do that. I know when I was first saved, I wanted to tell everybody, and I did. And not everybody is ready to hear it, and I was just too dumb to know it. And I just put my foot in my mouth all the time. But I told friends, I said, "I don't know if you're ready to hear this or not, but here it is." And they said they're bewildered, you know. But we need some of that excitement back in our lives. So, here they are, verse 36. All this happened as they're telling all these things to these other disciples, and they're dumbfounded. Jesus himself comes and stands in their midst and then says, "Peace to you." And they were all terrified because they thought they were seeing some spirit or some ghost. Could you imagine? So Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. Touch me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as I have." Picture that with me. I can picture it in my mind's eye, these guys going up and scared and happy, and they're still having trouble believing their eyes and their ears. You ever have trouble like that? And yet they were joyful. The scripture says they were joyful. So to help them to know that he was real and not just some apparition or something, Jesus asked them for some food. So they gave him broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he ate it in front of them. So apparently ghosts don't eat. Because he was showing them, "Hey, I am the real deal. I'm flesh and bone," and they even eat. So the disciples were having trouble because of what they were, could hardly believe it. And sometimes that's why we get troubled too. You know, we can't control every negative circumstance that comes in our life or every negative thought that comes into our minds. But we can take control of our minds. It says in the scriptures that we can take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ, believing God's word, and that will keep us in peace, regardless of what's going on around us. Also here in verse 39, Jesus gives an important commentary on the resurrected body. You know, one day we're all going to receive a spiritual body like Jesus has now. At life's end, our bodies get worn out, and we're in need for an upgrade. You want to upgrade your apps or things on your computers? Well, we're going to get an upgrade one day, and it's going to be a great one, I'm telling you. There's not going to be more bunion surgeries or any more strokes. We're going to get a new body, folks, a spiritual body that, like Jesus has now. He is not just a spirit or an apparition, but flesh and bone, but yet he could enter into a room without opening any doors and come through the walls. I don't get it. And he could vanish immediately. I don't get that either. But a side note about our spiritual bodies, the only man-made thing in heaven is what? The scars of Jesus. Only man-made thing in heaven we're going to see. Revelation 5:6 says that Jesus was standing there as a lamb looking as it had been slain. Lamb in heaven. So, verse 44, another Bible study is being done. This time, to all the disciples that are there in that room gathered together in amazement and astonishment. And it says that he says this concerning himself to all the disciples. Verse 45 says, and Jesus opened their understanding that they could comprehend the scriptures. And then it says this, verses 46 to 49, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and on the third day that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And the last slide. Verse 50. He leads them out to the town of Bethany, just a short walk from Jerusalem. Jesus blesses them, and he ascends back to heaven. This Thursday, I was out riding bike, and all the Amish were out fishing and playing ball with their kids because it was Ascension Day. They don't work on Ascension Day. It's a special day for them. This is the day Jesus ascended back to heaven. He was received up into the clouds. It says that they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I guess, too, with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So, to conclude, the next time you get this stirring in your heart, just know, let there be a knowing. This is spiritual heartburn. Even though it might seem uncomfortable, don't just dismiss it. When you get this, don't dismiss it. Ask the Spirit to help you to understand what he desires for you to know. Just like these two disciples did. They received a revelation that was life-changing for them. He wants to do the same in us. I don't know if there's anyone here that has not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you've not received Jesus as Lord and Savior, today is your day. Scripture text clearly says that Jesus is alive and well and wants a personal relationship with each of us. And he extends an invitation to all of us. He wants us to have our sins forgiven and to start a new life, a new beginning. All you need to do is say yes. So if there's anyone here that has a desire and has not made that decision yet, see me, come up and receive Christ, or see me or one of the elders or somebody else here, and we'll pray with you, and you can receive that wonderful gift as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what you've done for all of us. Thank you that you've fulfilled every prophecy to the T. Thank you that you were the suffering Messiah, that you took all our sin upon yourself, took our punishment, and died. But you rose again victorious. Thank you for these Bible studies you gave these men. Thank you that we do have your Bible now, that we can read these accounts of truth. Lord, I pray that you will continue to give each of us spiritual heartburn. Continue to change us, rearrange us. As these disciples needed, we need it too at various times in our lives. Help us when you give us this heartburn feeling, Lord, to know it's you, to ask you, cooperate with you, and to learn what you're trying to teach us. It's because you love us. You don't want to leave us as we are. Thank you so much for all these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Scott, you want to turn on the lights up here?